The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. I was going to talk about really that one of the ways we suffer is feeling disconnected from things. Just like people have a basic human desire to feel connected to others, to feel not alone, not just trapped in me. And there's a Buddhist saying, the Buddha can be found in all places, can be found at all times, and can be found in every situation. And what that's really pointing us to is the fact that the real connection we're looking for is always there. But when we get lost in ourself, in our desires, in just what is happening to me, we can feel very disconnected from things. And the first step of seeing how to connect to the like the heart of Buddha, to the really deep spiritual place, which in a way is indescribable. You know, like I'll say, what does it mean the Buddha can be found? If you ask me to define it, I'll throw up my hands. But in a way, it's just pointing to something that you can find, that deep spiritual place that can be described in lots of ways. And the first step in training is, in order to connect to that deep spiritual place, is first to see what is we're connecting to right now in our lives, in what we're doing. And that comes up in what has meaning in your life, because that's what's connecting. If something doesn't have meaning, you're in a way not connecting to it. Just like for training to work, for your spiritual life to work, it has to have deep meaning, very deep meaning. You know, if it's kind of like, oh, this is nice, it won't work. It has to be something that you feel has, you know, deep meaning in your heart. You know, that's a real treasure, something that you're really putting effort into cultivating and working on and not treating casually, not treating like, oh, you know, just, and at times we all do, like, I'll get to it when I get to it. And in the normal worldly mind, is we're often lost in a self-absorbed fog. That's actually why you get irritated and frustrated. You're just kind of lost in doing something and making it much more important than it is. Just like I was recently on a checkout line that I chose the wrong line. And I'm watching everyone on the other line going by, and I'm thinking, I chose the wrong line. And I had to kind of, you just have to relax and realize, why do I care if it's another couple of minutes? But that covers both big things and little things. It's like, okay, why am I giving meaning to this? That somebody, you know, is a bit irritating, that somebody is doing this or that. Why do I care that they made this noise, that they're doing this, that they are insensitive to something about me? And a lot of mindfulness in Buddhism, people often don't understand, at least don't take mindfulness deeply. It's often thought, you're being mindful when you're paying attention to what you're doing. Spiritually, what you're doing is not very important in the deeper sense. The real mindfulness we want in Buddhism is mindfulness of what are you giving meaning in your life? What is your purpose? What are you actually doing on in a deeper level? Not just, oh, I'm doing this task, I'm doing this. Like, you know, somebody will say, well, I meditate really well when I play the guitar. Well, that people, I think most musicians are very good at being present with being playing music, or else you're not going to be a very good musician. I don't notice I'm being deeply spiritual. And actually what's happening, often people think just being present is what's important. And there's a line in the Dharmapada that often surprises Buddhists, but it's one of the most basic teachings of the Buddhas. Let go of the past, let go of the future, let go of the present. Follow that which will lead to liberation. Because neither the past, the future, or the present are something to cling to. What we have to do is follow that which will really help. What is the deep spiritual purpose and meaning of what you're doing? And then the task at hand is not that big a deal. And if it goes well or not, it's actually part of the path and has a meaning. You know, and doing it well has meaning just because doing everything, we're trying to do everything well. Just like, you know, and a big part of Soto Zen teaching is how to do all those daily tasks, ordinary daily life well, because doing them well is part of your practice. This is a place that you're practicing. So Dogen wrote instructions how to do everything. Like almost all the jobs in the monastery have Dogen instructions, even though most of them haven't been translated as far as I know. You know, they haven't translated all of those teachings, but you know, just to kind of bring your mind and do them well. Just like I remember used to be done on calligraphy when I was here, a saying, to live by Zen is the same as to live an ordinary daily life. And I remember looking at it thinking, I already have an ordinary daily life. I'm coming here so I don't have an ordinary daily life. And I had to kind of realize I had to change my attitude instead of thinking and really kind of realize it's in treating the ordinary that we actually, you know, find that there's a deep spiritual meaning in the ordinary. We don't have to find the extraordinary. It's not the extraordinary experiences that are important. It's a way we just approach the whole of our life that's important. And most of that, you know, naturally, most of it is just the most ordinary stuff. You wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you go, you wash, you eat, you do the task, you wash your dishes, you know, you do all these things, you talk to people, you do a job or whatever it is that we're doing. And this is our life. And this is what we have to convert. And then we can make it all the life of Buddha. But we actually have to realize the and be mindful whatever we're doing. Because if we're not mindful of a deep, that there's a deep spiritual meaning to what we're doing, then we'll actually not treat it well and we'll think, this is a part of my life that counts. And this is a part of my life that's in the way or isn't the meaningful part. I have to get to the meaningful part. Almost like the way I know some people I remember living, and I'm sure they still do, where it's like they're looking forward to the weekend. Like, you know, the weekend is when life matters, or this matters, or that matters. Even a thing where you're looking forward to your vacation, you're looking forward to whatever it is. And it's human to look forward to something, but we're trying to get caught up and not realize that we have to connect to where we are right now. And one of the things we should be mindful of to connect to things is, what are we telling ourselves? What's going on in our heads? Because that's what makes reality for us, not what's going on. It's what we tell ourselves about going on. If somebody treats us, you know, what we tell ourselves about it is what's, you know, makes it real. You know, if you complain, that's what it is. If you say, oh, it doesn't matter, that starts helping it not to matter. And part of what we want to be aware of is, are we telling ourselves the Dharma? You know, are you giving yourself the teaching? Because really, people all want to know, what do I do with all these desires, the hate? How do I deal with, you know, like my delusion? When you know it's coming up, give it the Dharma. There's usually a teaching that applies to whatever's going on. If I'm angry with somebody, it's something that requires the Dharma. Why am I telling myself, like, for instance, that person shouldn't be that way? That's not a good thing. Why is it a problem that they're that way? You know, give yourself the Dharma. And it's like, I remember talking to someone, and he was somebody I knew from way back, actually, when I was guest master here, and he became a monk at another Zen center. And he actually had a problem with anger until he finally got, after 20 years, got kicked out of the center. Because he just, you know, would lose his temper. And when I talked to him, he had actually done way more meditation than me, because they meditated a lot. But when I talked to him, he actually didn't seem to recognize that when he gets angry, he needs to see better what's going on, see better what the teaching is, and realize that there was never a reason to be angry. You know, and he just didn't get that. And you would think, how's that possible? But actually, I talk to people all the time. It's often people don't get the fact that, you know, they're telling themselves a sad story that they're convinced, like, wow, that was unreasonable. I should be upset. I should be angry. Like, he was still annoyed at the person he was angry with. You know, and rather than realizing, why did it bother him? You know, why couldn't he connect and realize it didn't matter what had happened? And by not, so he was sitting forever, but he wasn't looking at himself. And it's a saying in Dogen, to study Buddhism is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. What does that mean? It means when we study it, we want to see how the self appears. Unless you look at it, you don't even know this is what you're doing. I'm getting angry here. I'm getting upset here. I'm full of desire here. I'm now beating myself up about this. I'm now thinking this is what's important. God, I'm caring about what this person's thinking about me. You have to see this is how this makes the self. This is who you are. You have to see what makes me. And then you have to let it go and realize in a way it doesn't matter. You know, I'm not the center. Forget the self. And you don't really, in a way, you don't, this is something that happens again and again. And realize and just do what you're doing. You know, just be with whatever's there. And then you can be, forget the self, then you can be enlightened by everything. But as long, for instance, as long as you're important and you're the center of the world, you know, you won't see that. Because it's amazing how we walk around being the center of a universe. By definition, that can't be a good picture of reality. And so we have to put ourselves in a better, you know, kind of be willing, you know, to see better the way things are instead of just having judgments how we think they should be. You know, for instance, you know, if you want to connect with others, you have to stop judging them and thinking how you wish they should be. You should be aware of your expectations and let go of them. I mean, provisionally, we always have expectations. I don't walk out of here expecting somebody to blow up at me. You know, it's an expectation. But if it happens, hopefully, I can not get up, you know, handle it if something happens and realize it's okay. That's the nature of things. And when we're with people, we connect to them by having sympathy and understanding, trying to have understanding of how there are, and trusting that there's good karmic reasons for them to do it. Whatever's going on, it's coming, there's reasons, people. It's even why often when you're having difficulty with somebody, we've all had it where we're having real difficulty with somebody and we're even angrier in an argument with them, and somehow after a while we actually feel closer to them because we both sort of expose parts of ourselves and basically have a better understanding about each other. which isn't the best way to resolve it, but it's a very human way of resolving it. I've even known couples that seem to like the only way they could connect to each other was a fight. It wasn't the most skillful way of doing it, but they actually, it had its positive side. They would feel more connected to each other when they were willing to actually say what they were feeling and be able to then relate, oh, that's what's going on. And connecting with others means, and really connecting with the fact that it's good to be where you are. You shouldn't be telling yourself this shouldn't be happening. Think about it. If it's happening, why shouldn't it be happening? It'd be like saying, I shouldn't have cancer. Why not? Or they shouldn't have this. Or I shouldn't have a car accident. Or nobody should be killed. Or whatever it is. Of course, on a practical level, we don't want that. But obviously, there's karmic conditions, the same way as I just checked the smoke and we have smoke. The air is not that good at the moment. Not dreadful, but it's moving up there. And that's why to connect with the Buddha heart in daily life, we have to have acceptance of whatever we're experiencing, whatever we're encountering, whatever is happening. Everything else is going to create suffering, because that's the only place. To say this shouldn't be happening is like saying, you know, it's like a little child saying, I don't want to go to bed. You know, it's useless. At least it should be useless, hopefully. You know, it's like, this is what's happening. Deal with it. The fact that some of it isn't the way you want it, some of it's causing harm, well, that's reality. Whatever's going on is both the good and the bad. And that's the nature of existence. Some of it is always not the best. It's a strange reality that we could get. Everything is happening well. And because everything, when we don't do that, in a way, we're losing our chance to be at peace and finding the deeper meaning and the deeper truth, which isn't being bound up in what you're going on. It's even like this fact that people often have spiritual breakthroughs when they just are willing to put up with something. And a good example is in the Wild White Goose, where Master Jiyu is dealing with a lot of very difficult karmic conditions of being a female who's, you know, dealing with young Japanese men when she was in her late 30s. Who aren't treating her well, and she walks out of the temple and she realizes, in a way, these are the conditions I need to deal with. Come back in and actually looks down at the floor in the kitchen and says, it's dirty, it could use mopping. Starts mopping the floor and has, you know, a spiritual breakthrough. And that's one of the teachings of the Wild White Goose, is I have to take everything for my own good. Well, we have to take everything for our own good. It wasn't like a specific teaching of Reverend Master Jiyu. And it doesn't mean everything is there for your own good. I remember when I read The Wild White Goose, she had those footnotes saying un-Buddhist thinking. And I actually, for the life of me, didn't understand it, because people were wrong. Why is that un-Buddhist thinking? And it took me actually a while before I realized it wasn't that she was wrong in seeing that they were wrong. She was wrong in not having compassion for them being wrong. Because things are always, you know, I'm wrong. You know, if somebody's around me, they better have compassion for me, because I'm going to be wrong. And if they're going to get upset every time I'm wrong, it's going to be hard, because, you know, we're going to get things wrong. Now, she had pretty difficult teaching. People were in purposely being wrong, but that's also life. You know, it's like saying men should, you know, shouldn't be sexist or racist or other things, when, of course, that's reality. People are that way, and to say they shouldn't be that way is saying we want a different world. Where am I doing on time? Because if we're not careful, we'll be getting upset with others and thinking they shouldn't be this way. They are whatever they are. It'd be nice if we were all enlightened beings, but, you know, maybe if we get reborn in a heavenly realm. But right now, we're in this realm, and this is what we have. And if we also, when we're judgmental of others, we'll be judgmental of ourselves. I mean, I'm usually more upset with me than other people. You know, it's, you know, I have much more difficulty putting up with my own mistakes than other people's mistakes, and that's not unusual. And I have to kind of realize it's okay for me to make mistakes, for me to do things. And, you know, and it's, and Buddhist training is acceptance doesn't mean we're passive in the face of suffering, face of things wrong, but we actually just accept, you know, the fact that we can only do what we can do. That's right action. And to say, I want more than right action is silly. It's the same way as I can't solve other people's suffering, you know, most of the time. I can do something, but usually it's not like if somebody is suffering, oh, I have the solution. That's not doable, even if I think I know what they should do, but there's karmic reasons why they're not doing it. The same reason there's karmic reasons an alcoholic keeps drinking, a gamble, you know, there's addictive behavior, you know, or even why I eat too many cookies. I don't know the deep karmic reason, but I'm sure in a past life I was deprived of cookies. And the lack of acceptance often comes up in this heartfelt feeling that there shouldn't be suffering, that there's something wrong that beings suffer. Rather than just recognizing this is, unfortunately, the way things are, is even why the Buddha had to come up with the Four Noble Truths, is there is suffering, and it's the nature of life, just as aging, old age, disease, and death often come up with difficult karmic conditions inevitably, because it's the nature of things. We have to fall apart. And throughout life, there's difficult conditions. And if we say, don't have acceptance of the suffering, part of the way we accept suffering is trusting on a deeper level, nothing is getting hurt. And many of us don't believe that. And that's why we have to give ourselves the Dharma and try to trust the teaching that in a deeper level, where's the hurt? What's really being hurt? You go through pain, what's really happening? You know, from a Buddhist perspective, it's just the nature of things. And we're meditating like the fellow in the concentration camp to realize that what can fill us, the joy that he describes, which isn't the word usually I would use, but whatever it is that fills us where we're in the right spiritual place isn't being affected by the conditions. And I've been around a lot of people dying who are actually filled with joy. And that sense of self actually starts lessening, and we start forgetting the self when we let go of our judgments and just start being with everything. Just like, think of it, you can connect to people much more if you're not thinking, but they shouldn't be that way. Just like you connect to the world much better if you don't think, the world should be different. I want a better world. That's often what we're thinking when we look at the news. I want a better world. You know, why are people not taking care of global warming? Almost like, wow, it's amazing. We've been evolved to think of the whole world at a time, rather, you know, which we haven't been. And one of the things we're trying to connect with and bringing our attention to is connecting with not how are we doing. People often concentrate a lot in spiritual life on how are they doing spiritually. You know, like, how am I doing? I think that was my question often. I think in a way I had it in one of the articles where I'd go up to Reverend Master always wanting to know, like, am I doing okay? I feel like I'm a mess. And she would just always tell me to keep going. She never, and I actually wanted to almost be told, I'm doing okay. Kinra, you're good. You're not making a mess of it. And I realized, in a way, it's the wrong question. How you're doing isn't important. It's what you're doing is important. You know, and she was just telling me, concentrate on what you're doing. Think about it. If somebody tells you you're doing well, it doesn't make any difference. It's what you're doing now is generating your future. That's what matters. And the picture of how you're doing, I never tell people how they're doing. I can't recall telling somebody, unless maybe if they're really depressed, I'll tell them they're doing okay or something. But usually I don't tell, because actually I'm not sure how they're doing. I don't think it matters how they're doing. It matters what they're doing. You know, what are you actually doing in your life? You know, if you want to do better, it's not like, well, what are you doing better? You know, like there's specific things you can do better. Get a better handle on your anger or your fear or whatever it is, even practice more or do some, you know, whatever it is, you're doing something. How you are in the big picture, to be honest, I don't even often know or even think in those terms, because it doesn't mean anything to me most of the time, you know, but you can concentrate on what you're doing, if that makes sense. And because that what counts, like where you are in the big picture, who knows? Like, I don't even want to know where I am on the big picture. And that's the truth. But on the other hand, I can deal with today and do good now. And when we look at the world with a critical mind, when I look at myself, others, I can always find things wrong. And it's not wrong to see the things wrong, but you have to embrace it with compassion. See the mistakes and realize there's good reasons there's the wrong, in the sense that there's karma for it. You know, just like I remember hearing about someone, he was a scientist and he was studying psychopaths, and when he ran through all the conditions, he actually realized he's a psychopath. Literally. And he went home and he told his wife and his friends, you know, I'm a psychopath. And he said none of them were surprised. And then he described his life, and he was just very selfish, very little empathy. But he was very charming and nice. He was married and kept a life going and children and all the rest. And he realized he has to change. And he started to change, and I remember, and he went up to his wife after a while and he said, do you realize I'm faking caring about you and being interested in you? And she said, keep doing it. And actually I've read a few, just happened to stumble on a number of other accounts of people who were psychopaths, and how they dealt with it. And in a way, they just had to just train and try to do the right thing. And it just, their feelings weren't in harmony often with it, but they dealt, you know, you can deal with it. You know, and actually when you say fake it, we all fake it. You know what I mean? We're not always interested in what's going on in somebody else. We're not always grateful. We're not always, I don't always care what, you know, and in any relationship, you're not always, you know, we all fake it at times. At other times, we're not, but at times, we're faking it. But it's not faking it, it's what's good to do. When I ask somebody how you're doing, do I always want to know? No. Not always. We've always had it where we ask somebody how they're doing and they start really telling us. We think, I wasn't expecting that. And that's okay. It's good to do. And that's part of training. Can you do what's good to do? Not how you feel about it. you know, what's good to do in that situation. And, you know, and acceptance allows us just to be with what's there. And, you know, and when we notice something's attracting us, we can see, okay, that's just, and we're trying to be mindful, that's just desire. You know, I want it. There's nothing profound going on. It's just the nature of desire. Something repels us. That's what it is. I'm feeling fear. Part of mindfulness that we're doing that helps us connect with things is connecting with ourselves. What are we actually not only thinking? What are we feeling? What are we doing? What's our mood? They all affect our behavior. They all affect what's going on. So how do we better deal with it? If we're tired, be aware of it, see, because it'll affect our behavior, it'll affect our interaction. Sometimes I realize I'll be tired, I'll realize I have to watch, I can get easily irritated, you know, if I'm tired or frustrated, because I'm really tired, and just be with those, be aware of our feelings, because they affect us. And we can accept that we're tired, we can accept that, you know, right now I'm getting irritated. What's going on? You know, I'm doing that. And again, one of the things that helps us is just try to get in touch with the fact that it's good to be, you know, that we want to always point ourselves to being grateful, you know, whatever we're doing. Because it both points us to a deeper place. It even points us to a good feeling because we all like being grateful. It doesn't feel good to be ungrateful. And again, like the psychopath, whether training is trying to be grateful, and it's okay if we don't feel it. You know, we don't always feel it. Somebody gives us something we don't want, be grateful anyway. Don't say, but I don't want that. And we can realize there's something nice in what was done. And lack of acceptance cuts us off from that grateful mind. You know, we don't want to be here, don't want this. We won't feel grateful. To feel grateful, we have to kind of accept what's happening in front of us and trust that there's a deeper spiritual meaning and purpose in what is happening there. And the acceptance means, in a way, with us. And it kind of is an important change of how we look at things. Is in training, in Buddhist practice, we're not trying to get rid of worry and fear. We're trying to accept worry and fear. It's fine to come up. There's no problem in feeling worry or fear. It has no fundamental substance. So if you just sit still, it will dissolve. But if you say, I don't want this, we can just push it away, but it hasn't gone anywhere. It's still waiting, the same way as somebody will push away. Like, unfortunately, when you get overwhelmed by stuff like trauma, you just push stuff away to function, which is useful. I mean, it's what you needed to do. It was overwhelming. But it's then just sitting there waiting for you to accept it, feel it, and let it dissolve on its own. You can say, well, when's it going to dissolve? Well, I have this nice formula that makes it dissolve in 15 minutes, but I won't tell it to you. But you have to just, it'll take as long as it takes. And that's okay. If it's okay to be there, the painful feeling, even the fear or the terror, you can just try to sit with it, and it will dissolve because there was really nothing going on there. It's just the feeling that was elicited by it. Just like people very commonly when they meditate will feel grief for something that happened sometimes ages ago, and they'll start crying. You know, in fact, you know, I used to kind of help with retreats here for a long time, and in a large retreat, very frequently somebody would be crying. And it wasn't usually about anything that had happened recently. And often they don't even know where the grief's from. And that's the nature of it, is Most of the time when I cry, I have no idea why what it's about, but frequently it's about something. And people will say, well, I couldn't even cry when that person died. And at some point, it feels good to cry. And that Buddhist training of patient acceptance, because it also takes patience just to put up with being afraid, being worried, even being angry. It's not, you're not being a bad, people feel, I'm a bad Buddhist, I'm angry. No, it's fine to be angry. Don't justify it in your mind and don't keep it, feed it. But just to be angry, realize, wow, this is really making me angry and upset. That's fine. That's just karma. You have to, unless you're willing to accept it, it's probably going to stay around. You know, it may hide, but it'll pop up at some point. And that's why, in a way, we don't have to, in a way, in Buddhism, they often talk about converting stuff. But in a way, we don't convert it. We just put up with it. And the conversion is it'll dissolve on its own. You know, we'll find, you know, they'll say like the defilements, greed, hate, and delusion get converted into compassion, love, and wisdom. Well, that's because the greed, hate, and delusion is based on delusion, on ignorance. When we see clearly, it dissolves. But that takes as long as it takes. And the compassion, love, and wisdom is there when we get out of the way, because it fills the universe. But we only realize that when we get out of the way. Without acceptance, we don't get in the way. We're saying, but I don't want this. Almost like a small child having a temper tantrum. I don't want this reality. I want a different reality. And anyway, and I'm getting to the end. And actually, when we give with acceptance, we give less importance to our feelings, our thoughts, to what's happening. And actually, rather than, and this actually makes us feel much better, because we don't realize we're carrying the burden of us around. Our self-importance is weighing us down. You know, it's like Ajahn Chah has a nice one where he says, it's like we're carrying this heavy rock around. And when somebody says, you should really let go of it, the person says, but this is all I have. If I let go of this, I'm not going to have anything. And we put it down and we realize, you know, that there's freedom and joy in, you know, when we let go of it. And, you know, and we have to just learn that to care about what's happening in the moment without holding on to it. It all has meaning, but the meaning is in the bigger picture, that this is how we relate to it. All has deep spiritual significance in our life, what we reject, what we accept, how we approach things, how we treat others, you know. And to give the Dharma to all those aspects of our life and let the Dharma shine through, you know, learn that there's no reason not to be kind, no reason, you know, not to treat everything like a Buddha. Anyway, I finished my notes. I'll finish the talk. I'll say the three homages and head out. Homage to all the Buddhas, homage to all the Dharmas, homage to all the Sangha.